This episode of the Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is Thursday, the 22nd of April, and just a little change up of schedule here. Originally, I was going to do a podcast a little later today, recapping some of what Dave Gettleman and Chris Pettit had to say in their annual draft or pre-draft press conference. I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually do Twitter Thursday today. So I'm going to take whatever questions I have from you guys and gals, answer them on today's show, and then I will spend tomorrow dissecting some of what Dave Gettleman had to say, if there was anything worthwhile, and just kind of talking about the draft, some updated stuff and information and whatnot. So that's the plan for today. And as always, you know, if you have questions, if you were thinking about waiting till tomorrow to get your questions in or whatever, that's fine. Send them in to me, and if I don't get them on the podcast, I'll pick them up on Giants Country. All right, so let's jump right in. Going to kick it off with two questions from Renato P. And the first one is what pick would be a head scratcher for you for the Giants, especially in the first round? I think, Renato, a head scratcher pick for me would be any cornerback. Now, I have heard that there is a possibility that they might, and I want to stress, might, Patrick Surtain is there, that they might give some serious consideration to making him the pick at number 11. To me, you know, look, I get it. You can never have too many good cornerbacks, and I can kind of see the reasoning behind it, but I would finish off the offense. I mean, get a receiver or put an offensive lineman at pick number 11. To me, that's the bigger priority. Now, as I've said so many times in the past, the Giants view their needs differently than anybody on the outside views them, including those of us who cover the team 24/7. So, but yeah, I would say that would probably be the biggest head scratcher. And if I can give you one more big head scratcher, probably a 1A, if you will, any edge rusher that they pick at number 11. And I say that because I don't think that there is an edge rusher in this draft class that is worth the number 11 pick. I think there are definitely first rounders, but I would not go and pick an edge rusher in at number 11. I just don't think that is the best value for that pick. But again, the Giants view their needs differently. They have their board set. I do not know who is on their board and in what order. I do believe, though, their board consists of about 150 prospects. And then there's like a bunch of additional prospects in case those 150 are no longer there. But usually it's 150 is what they go for. And they try and fill out their draft class from that 150 and see what they come up with. So, all right. So that's the first question from Renato P. The next one is the next question he has is, given these changes in the rules enabling folks to have more numbers available to be used, which Giants player would be cooler with a different number, either from today or Giants past? All right, Renato, I'm not sure if you mean which player would want to change or which player would want to give up a number. But it's funny, I just put an article up on Giants Country just before I started recording this. Jabril Peppers would be my best guess as to which player is going to probably want to try and switch numbers. Jabril Peppers, I think, wore number 5 in college, and number 5 is currently worn by kicker Graham Gano, and there was this cute little Twitter exchange between the two. So if you go to GiantsCountry.com, it's one of the top articles listed at the top of the listing there, and just a real cute exchange between the two. But that would be definitely a guy I would keep an eye on, being Jabril Peppers, and whether or not he makes a switch with his jersey number. Folks, you are listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traynor. We're doing a Twitter Thursday today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have more of your questions, so please stay with us.
With the ever-increasing number of auto makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait for the counterperson to order the parts on a computer, usually choosing the brands that the store happens to prefer? Instead, take your search for your auto parts to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for all your auto parts and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpeting. Whether it's for your classic or daily drive, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. That's RockAuto.com.
Hey, Giant fans. This is Patricia Traynor, host of the Locked On Giants podcast. If you're looking for a way to keep Giants football in the forefront during this offseason, pick up a copy of my new book, The Big 50 New York Giants, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Giants. This 350-plus page book takes a deep dive into the rich history of the Giants franchise, covering every era with stories, photos, and more that take you behind the headlines. The Big 50 New York Giants is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TriumphBooks.com, and wherever books are sold. Pick up your copy today, and thank you to everyone for your support. Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment 2 of Locked On Giants. Patricia Traynor here with you, and it is a Twitter Thursday. Yes, we are finally doing a mailbag. It's been quite a while, and I've missed it. And, unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of questions, but certainly I'm happy to answer those that I have. And we'll do another Twitter mailbag probably after the draft, I would say. This way, you know, we have some questions answered and some stuff settled, and we'll look to do it at that point. So anyway, before we get back to your questions, just remember, this year the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and Draft Network national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch the live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft April 29th through May 1st. And as far as how we're going to be covering the draft here at Locked On Giants, just going to keep bringing you scenarios. I'm going to try and get a few more guests before the draft starts. And then, of course, we will have reaction shows. And next week with the draft kicking off on Thursday, going in through into Saturday, we will have bonus shows over the weekend. So you'll have plenty of coverage coming from Locked On Giants, also over at Giants Country, and hope you will check it all out, because your support is definitely appreciated. All right, let's get back to our Twitter Thursday Q&A. And we have a question from Jeff J., who asks, when comparing prospects, which do you value more, higher ceiling or higher floor? Ooh, that's a good one, Jeff. I'm going to say higher ceiling because when you think about it, NFL defenses and offenses, they change every year. Now, it's not a, you know, a real massive change, but there are little tweaks and little things that are done differently. So for me, I would rather have a guy whose potential is unlimited, whose ceiling is unlimited, so that maybe as these tweaks are made, you can, you know, have different scenarios, different things that you can do. You could get creative, I think, with more of these people, if they have a higher ceiling as opposed to a higher floor. I do appreciate, you know, somebody who has a high floor. Obviously, it's somebody who can, you know, ideally step in a little quicker. But, you know, look, very few rookies come in from the draft and are NFL ready, you know. So it takes some coaching. It takes some correcting of some of the bad habits. But ultimately, it comes together. And, you know, sometimes you see guys that you know, draft analysts didn't think a whole lot of, and they develop into really, really good players for you. So, but for me, definitely high ceiling. And thank you for that question. That was a great question, by the way. All right. This next question comes from John Spielman, who asks, with the DeAndre Baker pick fresh in the minds of Giants personnel evaluators, can we expect extra due diligence on all potential draftees? Seems obvious when they have been burned by such a high draft pick. John, the short answer to that is there's only so much you can do. You know, we're still in a pandemic. People are still kind of limited as to what they can do. You know, scouts in a normal non-pandemic scenario, they can go to college campuses, interview, you know, clerks, store clerks, restaurant bar owners, anybody and everybody who might have come in contact with a prospective draft pick. So you could do a whole lot more there with scouting. Now you're still kind of limited now that we're in a pandemic. And the thing here with the Giants and DeAndre Baker is DeAndre Baker coming out of school had a reputation. The knock against him was that he was allegedly not a hard worker. He was allegedly lazy and flippant to a degree, and just not willing to really, you know, put the elbow grease in. That was the word on him coming out of college. When he got to the Giants, actually, let me back up a little bit. The Giants, in deciding to take him, my guess is they thought that if they put him in a good environment with some veterans who could show him the way, who could teach him how to become a professional, that he would blossom into, you know, a quality NFL player. And P.S. John, this is not the first time. DeAndre Baker is not the first player that came in with alleged work ethic issues, you know, that, and the Giants took a gamble on him. Now, obviously, we all know what happened with the alleged criminal charges, which he was later cleared of. Nobody could have seen that coming. Nothing in his draft background indicated that he would, you know, potentially get mixed up in something like that. And again, I want to stress that he was cleared of all charges. So, you know, in this country, you're innocent until proven guilty. And he, of course, turned out to be innocent from any, you know, alleged wrongdoing. So, you know, I know that's kind of a long answer to your question, John, but, you know, I would think the Giants, you know, they do their due diligence on every player possible. The pandemic's made it a little bit more challenging. Again, there are certain guys that you have to look at and say, okay, why is this guy maybe not a hard worker? Is it because he doesn't know any better? Is it because he's lazy? Is it because, you know, he's got a lot of yes men around him telling him that he's the greatest and he doesn't see his flaws? You know, these are all things you've got to look at. And these are all things I'm sure that the Giants do look at when they investigate players. So, you know, the DeAndre Baker situation was unfortunate. I'm happy for DeAndre that he was cleared of all charges and was able to resume his career. You know, is it egg on the Giants' faces? Yes, because at the end of the day, you know, it was a draft pick they traded up to get. That is no longer on the roster, but, you know, those are the breaks. So, all right, Giant fans, you are listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traynor. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, a few more questions here on this Twitter Thursday. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, regardless of the sport or the major event. BetOnline also covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, offering real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you enter the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your sportsbook expert. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants, and happy to be here with you on this Thursday. And the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey is happening right now, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaConfora, and Brian Baldinger. Yes, of Baldy's Breakdowns. Our local experts for every team are making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's Odyssey, AUDACY. All right, we are on a Twitter Thursday, and a few more questions, and then we'll call it a show. This next one comes from, let me see, Carl, who writes, let's see, he writes, I believe the Giants will hopefully go O-line at 11, either Slater or Aliyah Vera Tucker, if he's not. Aliyah Vera Tucker at 11 is a little high for me, Carl. But anyway, moving on to your question. As you noted, you've been looking into Pat Freiermuth in round two. Pat Freiermuth, of course, being a tight end, and I think that would be the perfect pick for them. The question is, what would Ingram's trade value be in draft capital? Could the Giants get a third round pick for him? That's a tough one, Carl. See, here's the thing with Evan Ingram. He's in the option year of his rookie deal. So he's got a little bit over a $6 million cap hit. I don't think the Giants are going to trade him, because the more and more I do research on this, the more and more I put my ear to the ground. I've had several people tell me that this is not the best class for tight ends. And, you know, I just don't think the Giants are going to trade Evan Ingram. I would be surprised if they do. They seem to think that they can get the most out of him. I don't know what gives them reason to believe that, because, you know, he was a coach killer basically last year. But to answer your question, I mean, if they were to try to trade him, I don't know if they could get a third rounder. Maybe. I don't know. That's a real tough one to assess there. I mean, you could say, oh, you know, he's coming off of a Pro Bowl year, but we all kind of know what the Pro Bowl, you know, kind of stands for, and how much water that actually carries in the NFL. But, I don't know if they could get a third rounder for Evan Ingram. I'm thinking maybe, you know, let me go back to Eli Apple. What did they get for Eli Apple? They got a third and a fifth for Eli Apple? I'm trying to remember what it was. So maybe, and I want to stress this, maybe you can get half of what you got for Eli Apple. I just don't see the Giants trading Evan Ingram. I think, you know, they changed up the coaching assignments, and they're going to try to work out the bugs with him, it looks like. So we'll see if they're successful. But that's an interesting question. I wish I had a better and more definitive answer for you, but that one was a tough one. All right, let's see. Our next question comes from, let me see, Robert P., who writes, Giants appear to have made clear upgrades at receiver, replacing Tate with Galladay and Ross at cornerback two. They lost two good players in Zeitler and Tomlinson. Let's see. Let me go back down to the question here. The O-line is the weakest link. If Slater is available, isn't he an obvious choice with Barmore in round two if still available? This way you've strengthened receiver, cornerback, and offensive line and broken even at defensive line. Thoughts? Robert, I've been saying and beating the drum for offensive line now for several weeks. And as I record this, I'm sticking with offensive line as my pick. I think if Slater or Sewell are there, one of those guys is going to be the pick. Now, that said, as I record this, we have not yet heard from Dave Gettleman as far as, you know, his draft presser. We heard from him earlier in the week. He spoke about free agency. Didn't really touch that much on the draft. Sometimes, if you listen really, really carefully, Dave tips his hand. He's done so several times the last couple of years. Like, I've come out of a presser and said, oh, this is who the Giants are going to pick. Right now, before, you know, this presser, which is going to air probably by the time a lot of you hear this podcast, I'm saying it's going to be offensive line. I think it makes the most sense. I think you finish what you started. You put talent around Daniel Jones, and you give him every possibility to succeed. And I just don't see that offensive line as being completed yet. That said, if Slater is not there, if Penei Sewell is not there, I would go receiver. Even though the Giants upgraded at receiver, defensive tackle, now I have heard some draft analysts have told me that it's not as good of a class for defensive tackle as I initially thought it was. So I just don't know that, you know, if they would go defensive tackle in round two. This has been a really, really difficult draft to kind of forecast. And a big reason for that is not having the combine and being able to go and put your ear to the ground and talk to people and get a sense for how teams might be thinking. So this has been kind of challenging, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, offensive line for me would be the way to go if Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater are on the board. If they don't get either one of those guys on the board, go for a receiver. I like Jaylen Waddle in this case a little bit more than I like Devonta Smith. And as far as offensive line goes, you know, maybe look to get somebody on day two. Maybe, you know, instead of going with Pat Freiermuth at tight end, which, you know, now I'm starting to think might not be the way they go, maybe you go and you get your offensive lineman in, you know, in the second round. So going to be interesting to see. I'm very curious to see how it works out. I'm also very curious to hear what Dave Gettleman has to say, because like I said, sometimes if you listen really, really carefully, he sort of gives you some insight into how he might be thinking. And, you know, it all boils down to how the board falls, obviously, but we'll have to see what he says. And certainly I'll be listening carefully. I'll be writing about it, and I'll try and dissect it without, you know, reading, you know, without jumping to conclusions too far at any rate. So really, appreciate that question. Thank you. And we'll see what he does. All right, one more question. And looks like this is also on the offensive line. This comes from James B., who writes, please do not fall in the same trap as Jerry Reese. Would you agree that we have to shore up the offensive line with at least two picks in the first two rounds to protect Mr. Jones? Ooh, so formal. I don't know please do not fall into the same trap as Jerry Reese. Why would I fall into the same trap as Jerry Reese? I mean, that part I don't get of your email, but look, James, I've been saying, and I just said it in the last response, get the offensive line fixed. You know, make sure you have answers on that unit. Right now, there's a lot of question marks on that unit. I think the only positions that are really set in stone are Andrew Thomas at left tackle and Nick Gates at center. And that concerns me. Now, would I agree that you'd have to, do offensive line with two picks in the at least two picks in the first two rounds? No, I don't think you do that. I think you go one offensive lineman in the first two rounds. That I could see. But two? Uh-uh. You need an edge rusher. You could probably use another defensive tackle. You could probably use more help at running back. You could probably use another cornerback later on in the draft. I mean, remember, James, you only have six draft picks here. So I don't think it would behoove the Giants to double up at a position. Now, that's not to say that they won't do it maybe later on in the draft. Like, I could see them, for example, taking a receiver in round one and then maybe using one of their six-round picks on a receiver. But in the first two picks, no, I wouldn't do that. That's asking too much, I think. So, but thanks for the question. That was, a lot of people seem to think that, offensive line is the way to go. And, I agree. I definitely agree. I've said that many times, and we'll see if Dave Gettleman agrees that that's the way to go. All right, Giant fans, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked on Giants. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, Dave Gettleman is speaking to the media, his annual pre-draft presser. It's going to kick off, I believe, at noon on Thursday. I think it's at noon. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. I'll tweet out highlights, and then I will have something on Giants Country about some takeaways. And also I'll have Friday's show. I'll be able to use Friday's show to talk more about it, maybe play some clips from Dave Gettleman's presser. And also Chris Pettit is going to be on that presser as well. Chris Pettit is the director of college scouting. So until then, thank you so much for tuning into the Locked on Giants podcast, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.